محمد و آل محمد صلوات.
اللهم صل على محمد و آل محمد. یک بار پھر درود بھیجیے گا محمد و آل محمد. اللهم صل على محمد و آل محمد و عجل فرجهم. جیسا کہ آپ کے ذہن میں ہے, آپ کے پاس نماز وحشت قبر کی درخواست آئی بھی ہے مرحومہ رقیہ بائی بنت کھیم جی محمد کے لیے, جن کی فاتحہ بھی ابھی آپ نے پڑھی تھی, ان کی روح کی بلندی کے لیے ایک بار پھر درود بھیجے گا محمد و آل محمد پر. صلی علی محمد و آل محمد و عجل فرج. تمام مرضا, تمام بیماروں کی شفا یابی کے لیے ایک بار پھر درود بھیجے گا محمد و آل محمد پر. صلی علی محمد محمد. اعوذ باللہ من الشیطان الرجیم, بسم اللہ الرحمن الرحیم, الحمد للہ رب العالمین, والصلاۃ والسلام علی سید الانبیاء والمرسلین حبیب الہ العالمین ابی القاسم محمد, اللہم صل علی محمد وعجل فرجہم وعلی آلہ الطیبین الطاہرین سیما بقیۃ اللہ فی الارضین. قال الله تعالى في كتابه الكريم, بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم, ونريد أن نمن على الذين استضعفوا في الأرض ونجعلهم أئمة ونجعلهم الوارثين. ایک بار پھر درود بھیجے گا محمد و آل محمد پر. صل على محمد و آل محمد وعجل فرجهم. جیسا کہ آپ کے علم ہے, اس سیمینار کے لیے جو ٹائٹل انتخاب ہوا ہے وہ تربیت اولاد ہے, اور انشاءاللہ اگلے 50 منٹ میں 55 منٹ میں ہم تربیت اولاد کے حوالے سے آپ کی خدمت میں عرائض پیش کریں گے. سب سے پہلے تو خدا کا شکر بجا لائیں گے کہ اس نے ہمیں توفیق دی کہ ہم اس اہم مسئلے کے اوپر ان ایام میں دین کے نام پہ جمع ہو سکیں غور و فکر کرنے کے لیے, سوچنے سمجھنے کے لیے. خدا متعالیٰ غور و فکر کا حکم دیتا ہے, ان تقوموا للہ مثنا وثلاثا ثم تتفکروا. فرماتا ہے تم لوگ دو دو کر کے, تین تین کر کے جمع ہو جاؤ, غور و فکر کرو, دین کے اوپر سوچو. الحمدللہ رب العالمین, یہ دین کی ہمیشہ کی دعوت ہے کہ سوچا جائے, سمجھا جائے, اور یہ موضوع ایسا ہے کہ جو ہم سب کی زندگیوں سے اتنا نزدیک ہے کہ اس کی اہمیت کو بیان کرنے کی ضرورت ہی نہیں ہے. کون سا انسان ایسا ہوگا جس کو اپنے اولاد کی فکر نہ ہو, یا اولاد کے مستقبل کو نہ سوچے, یا اولاد کے اندر اپنی فکر کو نہ دیکھنا چاہے. انبیاء تھا کیسے؟ خدا متعالیٰ نے حضرت ابراہیم علیہ السلام سے فرمایا کہ انی جاعلک للناس اماما, اگلا جملہ جو حضرت ابراہیم نے کہا ومن ذریتی, اے خدا ہے میری اولاد میں سے. انبیاء کی خواہش بھی ہے کہ بھئی ٹھیک ہے ہم ایک مقام پہ پہنچے ہیں, ہم نے ایک فضیلت کو حاصل کیا, اولاد کا کیا ہوگا, وہ اس فضیلت کو حاصل کرے گی یا نہیں حاصل کرے گی. تو اس اعتبار سے یہ موضوع کسی اہمیت کو بیان کرنے کے لیے نہیں ہے, بلکہ در حقیقت اس کے اوپر ہمیں غور و فکر کرنا ہوگا اور اس سے کچھ نہ کچھ حاصل کرنے کی کوشش کریں گے. اچھا, یہ بھی ہم سب کو معلوم ہے کہ یہ موضوع یا اس ٹائپ کے جو موضوعات ہوتے ہیں یہ پوری زندگی کے اوپر شامل ہوتے ہیں, یہ ایک ڈیڑھ گھنٹے کے اندر حل ہونے والے نہیں ہوتے. ان کے اوپر پی ایچ ڈیز ہو رہی ہیں, ان کے اوپر پوسٹ پی ایچ ڈی کام ہو رہے ہیں, ان کے اوپر پتہ نہیں کتنے کتنے انسٹیٹیوٹس کھلے ہوئے ہیں. اب یہ ہے کہ وہ مسئلہ جس کا تعلق ہماری زندگیوں کے 40 سال 50 سال کی محنت سے ہے, اس کو ہم ایک گھنٹے میں حل نہیں کر پائیں گے, یہ تو سب کو معلوم ہے. تو پھر ہم کیا کر سکیں گے؟ ہم یہ کر سکیں گے کہ شاید کچھ چیزیں, کچھ پوائنٹس ایسے دے سکیں گے جن کے اوپر اگر عمل کیا جائے تو کچھ فرق ایجاد کیا جا سکے, یعنی کوئی ایسا ڈفرینس بنایا جا سکے جس کے اوپر ہم یہ سوچیں کہ ہاں یہ پوائنٹ اگر پہلے سے ہی جان لیتے تو شاید بہتر تھا. ابھی بھی جان لیا تو کوئی مسئلہ نہیں ہے, ابھی سے کچھ بہتر کرنے کی کوشش کرتے ہیں. تو کچھ پوائنٹس ایسے کیے جا سکتے ہیں. اچھا, اب اگلا مسئلہ یہ ہے کہ ہمیں اس پر بات کرنے کی کیا اتھارٹی ہے, ہم کیوں بات کریں؟ اور ظاہر ہے کہ بہت دفعہ ایسا ہوتا ہے کہ کوئی آدمی کسی ایسے موضوع پہ بات کرنے بیٹھ جاتا ہے جس کے پاس اس کی کوئی قابلیت نہیں ہوتی ہے یا اس سے اس کا کوئی تعلق نہیں ہوتا. تو دو تین وجہ بنتی ہیں جس کی وجہ سے ہم اس کے اوپر بات کرنا چاہ رہے ہیں. پہلی بات تو یہ کہ یہ دین کا حصہ ہے, دین تربیت کے لیے آتا ہے. یزکیہم ویعلمہم الکتاب والحکمہ, انبیاء کا کام یہی ہے کہ وہ آتے ہیں معاشرے کو تیار کرتے ہیں, البتہ یہ بھی عرض کرتا چلوں کہ تربیت کا لفظ قرآنی اصطلاح نہیں ہے، تربیت کا لفظ قرآنی اصطلاح نہیں ہے، قرآنی اصطلاح تزکیہ ہے، تعلیم اور تزکیہ. تربیت استعمال کیا جاتا ہے اور کسی اور سینس میں استعمال کیا جا سکتا ہے، لیکن یہ ہے کہ قرآن کریم میں جو اصطلاحات استعمال ہوئی ہیں اس میں تزکیہ کا لفظ استعمال ہوا ہے. یزکیہم و یعلمہم الکتاب والحکمہ. اور اگر اس کو پوری سیکوینس کو ہم دیکھیں تو اللہ فرماتا ہے کہ ہم انبیاء کو بھیجتے ہیں، یتلو علیہم آیاتہ و یزکیہم و یعلمہم الکتاب والحکمہ. تین اسٹیجز کے اندر انبیاء اپنے کام کو انجام دیتے ہیں، اللہ کی نشانیوں کو ان کے سامنے بیان کرتے ہیں. اور اس کا مطلب نشانی ہے، اس آیات کا مطلب ظاہر قرآن کریم نہیں ہے چونکہ بعد میں کتاب آیا ہوا ہے. اللہ کی نشانیوں کو ان کے سامنے ایک کے بعد ایک بیان کرتے ہیں، یتلو علیہم آیاتہ و یزکیہم، ان کے نفوس کا تزکیہ کرتے ہیں. وہ یعلمہم الکتاب والحکمہ، اس آیات کی تلاوت، اور تلاوت کا مطلب ایک کے بعد ایک بیان کرنا ہے یہاں پر، قرآن کریم کی تلاوت یہاں مطلب نہیں ہے. اللہ کی نشانیوں کو ایک کے بعد ایک بیان کرنا، ان لوگوں کے نفوس کا تزکیہ کرنا، اس کے بعد کتاب اور حکمت کی تعلیم دینا. اور یہاں پر یہ بھی قابل توجہ ہوگا کہ کتاب کے بعد حکمت کسے کہتے ہیں؟ کیا قرآن کریم اگر کتاب ہے تو اس میں تو ساری حکمتیں آ گئی ہیں، اب یہ اور حکمت کون سی ہے جو اس کے بعد ذکر کی جا رہی ہے؟ تو اب یہ وہ چیزیں ہیں کہ جس کے اوپر ہم نے کم کام کیا ہوا ہے، لیکن یہ کہ بہرحال یہ قابل ذکر ہیں، قابل فکر ہیں، ان کے اوپر کام کہیں نہ کہیں ہونے کی ضرورت ہے. اگر آپ اس کو تھوڑا سا بھی دیکھنا چاہیں تو تفسیر نمونہ آن لائن اویلیبل ہے، اس کے اوپر غور کر لیجیے گا جا کر، اور اس کو دیکھ لیجیے گا کہ ان آیات کو ایک رف انٹرپریٹیشن کے اندر، ایک سادہ انٹرپریٹیشن کے اندر بلکہ، وہ کیا بیان کیا گیا ہے. درود بھیجے گا محمد وآل محمد. جی بھائی کیا کرنا ہے، انگلش میں درود بھیجے گا محمد وآل محمد پر. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعجل فرج. A new command just arrived, and maybe he earlier told me, but I forgot that. He said, change the language and make it into English. So from now on, we are trying to deliver it in English, inshallah. Sallu ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. Sallu ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad wa ajjil fard. So up to now what I said, that this is a problem, this is an issue which is important for us, our kids, where they are going. And one of the issues which every prophet has given importance, and I give them example of Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam, when he was told, إِنِّي جَاءَلُكَ لِلنَّاسِ إِمَامًا, we are making you a leader for the whole mankind, he said, وَمِن ذُرِّيَّتِي, and from my generations. So it's a problem, we can touch that. It comes close to our heart, because everyone loves his, generations, and they need them. Not only the son and children of his own life, those who are coming from us, those are coming afterward. Because this religion is not for a few years, this is for إِلَى يَوْمِ الْقَيَامَةِ. So we have to think about that. So this is important, and I was telling why I should discuss this, because it comes close to me, it's important for me. I have four kids, Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. I am trying myself to bring them up with Islamic education, so I have a first hand experience of this issue. And second one, because of my background in Islamic studies, I have been in Qom for many years, and I'm doing this for many years, so it's around now 30 years that I'm studying Islam and working on it. Somehow I have got some knowledge to be delivered here. And the third one is my profession. I had been in education for quite some time, for 10 years at least. I taught from class 6 up to masters. So there was somehow an experience for me, how to deal with kids, how to train them and how to work with them. And different levels of education had different styles. So Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, I had a few things in my mind, and then we worked on education as management. So we established a school, and not only one school in Karachi, but different schools in different cities. And Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, we have thousands of students working in Pakistan, Alhamdulillah. So we have a few experiences, we have done them, then that, so we are delivering here. And a simple point, inshallah. Sallu ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. Sallu ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad wa Ajjil Fad. Before I move ahead, with a few practical points. There are a few theoretical issues. Number one, you cannot give a mathematical formula for this thing. You cannot train them on mathematical rules. I mean, 2 plus 2 is 4, 4 plus 4 is 8. It cannot happen here. Why? Because it is dealing with human nature and human psychology. Human psychology is not mathematics. It's not physical bodies. So you have a physical body weighing 2 kilos, you have a certain rule for 2 kilos. But you have a child, how much is going to weigh? You don't know that. How complicated is his psychology? Every child has a different scenario. Even not all of your children have the same scenario. So we can't say that there is a single rule, mathematical rule, should be applied on every children in the same manner. I can say it cannot happen. It cannot happen. Because you can easily see in your own life, you cannot find 2 persons similar, absolutely similar. Everyone, just like their fingerprint, just like their DNA, just like their every physical aspect, they have different DNAs, different psychologies in them. Every child has different psychology. So you can have a few generalized rule, but you cannot implement them mathematically. You have to see the differences between children, their styles, their abilities, their capabilities. So first point is difference. Though there are similarities, because of that similarities we have rules, but difference is important. We have to take in account the difference between children. Sallu ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. Sallu ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad wa Ajil. Then coming to the parameters of training or tarbiyah in Islam, there are a few elements which can work quickly, very quickly. They can give you some impact, they can give you some results, but they are not going to change the child. They will obey you, the children will obey you, they will give you results, but you cannot be satisfied with that. For example, if I give a child, and it happened in a test, not a test, but the practice in one of the states of America, they promised children that if they read a book, they will give them $2. So it worked. It worked. A lot of students started reading books, and everyone was getting $2 per book. But a study of the books they read, they were amazed to see that all of the books had very few pages in them. And that's why was that thing, because they wanted to get more money after the books or out of the books. Because so they just selected books which had fewer pages, so they could complete it quickly and get more money after it. And they saw that the books, reading of those books, none of them had substantial depth in the contents. They were very simplified books. So kids appreciated the way they have been treated by $2. But had this training or had this practice inculcate in them the habit of reading? No. They read books, but not the habit. So you take away $2 and there is no reading now. So you got the result, initially you got the result, but it was not in the depth of their soul. So you deal with a child, you get a result, but how after 10 years? How after 15 years? How when they are powerful? Will they obey you? Will they follow the principles you have laid down? So there are few parameters of training, of tazkiyah and tarbiyah, which can give you result, but they are not in depth. You have to see what will change the soul, what will change or give impact up to the depth of the child, inshallah. Once again, sallu ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. Sallu ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad wa ajjal faradhum. Of course, we have different rules to give order to an environment which has disorder. Whenever you come into a room and the room is scattered, what do you do normally? What is your practice? You start picking things and giving them a certain place. So what should be the rule? The normally say you should have three stages of this changing disorder into order. Number one, give everything a place, a particular place, assigned place. Number two, put the thing on the right place. Number three, sallu ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad wa ajil farajhum. We should have an assigned place for everything. Don't put the thing on another place. Just put the thing on the right place. Number three, see what can give you change in the initial step. Then it will be easy for you. So fundamentals should be changed first. So you just for a practice, you came in and your kids are playing with toys. What do you do? How do you start? What are your rules? And have you conveyed the rules to the children? Now, just looking at this example, see how you want to manage the life of your children. Have you assigned the task? Have you made it clear for them what is their role? So just giving them instructions cannot work. I have created a few scenarios here, which are very common here in the West. And you have a major problem here, the environment. Environment is an issue. And we know there is a rule which has been adopted in New York, which was adopted in New York in the 90s, to change the environment, to change the overall procedure, what's happening in New York. So I was not in New York at that time, but I read this study which said that there was a major problem for commuters who were commuting in the subway, and there was a problem in New York for killings and use of gun, and around 6,000 murders every year in New York at that time. So what they did, they assigned a person for subway to manage that subway, and the biggest problem for them was people not paying ticket. 170,000 people was commuting in the subway without paying any ticket at that time. So where this guy started from, he gave a theory and he said, start from broken windows. So the theory was called broken window. So what you have to do, he said, repair all the windows, number one. So repairing the window, will it help you in collecting the tickets? He said, yes. Number two, don't let any car come onto the rail, and if it is vandalized, make them clean. Color should be perfect. Don't make them make the drawings on that, vandalize them. So they started from this thing. Now, what this thing had to do with tickets? He said, the environment will dictate who is ruling here. The environment. So if we have broken windows and if we have vandalized cars, the environment says that this is out of control. So people are not going to pay ticket. They will understand that those guys who are working illegal, they are the rulers, not those who are following rules. So they're not going to pay. So first, repair the windows. Color should be clean, neat and clean. No vandalized car should come on the rail. And then go for those who are not paying ticket. First, the environment. And what is your challenge? The environment. You can't control your environment. And I think this is the biggest challenge for you. So if you give me a school and you tell me that we want to train these students of this school, where you will start from? Where I will start from? I will start from notice board. Notice board. Because notice board of any school is the face of the environment. Face of the environment. Every child should come and go through the notice board, and they will have a look on the notice board. Whatever you have reflected on notice board will give a direct impact on the psychology of the student, and they will get ready for whatever you have given on the notice board. So if the notice board reflects an Islamic culture, students by themselves will prepare themselves for Islamic culture. So I think your problem here in Western world is this problem. Your environment is not good. Now, not only the environment is not good, you have a conflict of environment. You have an environment at school, then at home, and then at center. Might be three different environments. So my first scenario is a home where parents could not deal with their religion, they are going far from religion, have sins in their life, they have kids, what's going to happen? Most probably a lost case. Because parents are free in their senses, the interpretation of free. They are free, they are not making their children understand the value of Islam, value of religion. They are free, they are doing everything, and you know the generalization of everything. Child is seeing that, and with this environment he has at home, and then school, and then, for example, in market and the neighborhood, most probably he will not stick to his religion. And this is what happened with a lot of parents here in different countries. You can name them. And most of the parents who were not paying attention earlier, they lost them quicker. So they might have some sort of connection with their children, but unfortunately they could not maintain their religion. Sometimes parents, after a few years, realize that we were not good, they change themselves, but what is left now? They now come and say, Maulana, we have changed ourselves, what we should do for our kids? So the only thing which we can say that pray inshallah, but you have lost your time. You know, this issue of tarbiyah is somehow, sometimes, like drinking water or drinking acid. Acid is acid, water is water. You give sin, you get sin. You give piousness, you get piousness. So if I just ask any expert, anyone who is expert in chemical sciences, and tell him that I want to drink poison, is there any way I get the impact of water? Of course not. If the poison is poison, then you have taken poison and you will have to face poison now. You can't get water. So lost case is the case where parents are not doing good thing, children were not aware, they were not warned, they were grown up, they adopted the culture, now the parent changed, but the time has gone. So this is the first scenario. Number one and number two. Second is very religious, very religious. In one of my travelings, in one of the stations, one of the states, can't name them, a parent came to me, one of them came to me, and they said, we did our best with our children. We did our best with our children. We prayed every prayer. And we used to fast not only Maha Ramadan, but also Rajab and Shaban. And we tried our kids to do the fast in the same way. They used to fast in Rajab and Shaban. Oh my Lord. Now as I heard that, I thought in my mind that these kids will of course go astray. They will not remain on religion. Why? Because of this tight environment. Who asks you to enforce the religion which was not given by Allah? It was only mustahab at that time, in Rajab and Shaaban. You took that as wajib for yourself, it's very good, you do it for yourself, but you made your kids to do this too. Why? There was no need for that thing. It is not piousness. It is not ihtiyat that you do this. Some ihtiyat, if you follow, they go against ihtiyat. Because you lose your religion. So, second scenario is extraordinary strict environment. Though the religion was good, they were clear in their religion, and they were sincerely doing that. But with their strict nature, they lost their kids. They lost their kids. Now, somehow, this strict nature of parents is not only for religion, but also for their culture. Not every part of culture is a red line, cannot be crossed. Not every part of culture. So, if you used to eat something in your previous environment, previous culture, is this a red line cannot be crossed? No, of course not. If you used to deal with a certain kind of, behavior, is this the red line cannot be crossed? No, sir. Oh, no, of course not. See, what is from Islam and what is from your own environment? what is from Islam and what is from your local culture. Your local culture is not sacred. It is your choice. It is not the choice you can dictate on your kids, on your children. So sometimes we are strict for our religion and we are sincere, but this strictness, this tough behavior make them repulse. And sometimes we are strict, unfortunately, not only for religion, but for our culture. And this is worst case. This is worst. Because it no way you can enforce your culture on anyone. So they are not going to accept it. Because, and why? Because the contradiction. Because of the contradiction. You choose to live here. You brought them here in this environment, which has a different culture. And now you are enforcing your culture because you were living at that time of your golden time in that culture. No, it was your culture, not there. Now, just we have to differentiate in second scenario between religion and culture. Religion is something which can be protected, which should be protected. We should have a boundary, but culture, no. Cultures are not the boundaries which should be protected. Though in our culture, for example, Pakistani culture, there are many good things. There are many good things which are similar to Islam, which should be protected, but not every part of the culture. So the second scenario is extraordinary strict parents. They lost their kids. Why? Because of their tough behavior. They could not maintain that, and the kids got tired. And as soon as they got power, they said, now it's our turn. And they went off. Sallu ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. Sallu ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad wa Ajil. Third scenario. Not enforcing their religion. Not enforcing, just inviting them. Come with us. Come with us. Okay. So what the parents are doing, they are practicing their religion. Is it in depth or just a ritual? Normally a ritual. Normally a ritualistic approach. What is the ritualistic approach of a religion? You go to a ceremony, you come back, and now you are in a different world. This day you are religious, next day you are something else. Because today was that day, we celebrated in the spirit of religion, and the next day you forgot what you did yesterday. This is ritualistic. Now, do we think that with this ritualistic approach, the kids which are grown up in this environment, will they come with our rituals? Now, just looking at one of the rituals which are very close to our heart, and we respect and we do and we promise to do up to the end of our life, inshallah, Azadari Sayyidu Shuhada. Sallu ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad wa ajil faraj. Now, we know the environment here, we know the education here, we know the type of education here. I taught in Pillai school, and I had been in Pillai school, Yellow school, government schools. The environment there, secondary board of secondary education, how they used to reward you. It was very common in that education system that my first examination of board, it was in class 9. It used to be at class 9, the first exam. And first exam was Pakistan studies. And in my first examination of that board, I gave him the answering sheet. Now, there was time left. I think 35 minutes were left. And the guy who took my answering sheet, he took it and said, don't you want to write more? I said, no, I think it's enough. So what he did, he took my sheet and waited. He said, you're not going to get too many marks. Now, this is their style. This is their style. Now, you have another board, which is O levels or A levels. They have their own style. Now, is that style going to impact your child or not? Of course, it is. It is going to impact. Now, you have your children raised here in a quite different educational system with quite different standards. Their procedures are different, their styles are different, their standards, their reward, their punishment, everything is different. Now, do you think the ritualistic approach of a religion will be followed here with this educational system? I don't think. Because this education system, which you have here in in states and now in most of the parts of the world, they are not going behind rituals. They are going behind substance. They are going behind philosophies. So if you have a practice being done at a school, they are going to challenge you. Why this practice? Even for universities, those who were working for 800 years or 900 years, they had to change their practices. And you can find these examples of these type of issues that a certain country was doing certain practice for 200 years, but now they changed it. Why they changed it? They were doing it for 200 years or 600 years. You have to carry on with this. They said, no, we can't do this. Because in contradiction with the environment, we can't move away. Now, can you do this? Can you flow against the education system? With rituals? I can guarantee you, you cannot. The education system challenges every ritual of every religion, not only Islam. So, the third scenario is parents which are good in religion, they are not forcing them, they are inviting them, but they are inviting to a religion which is based on rituals. Only rituals. It is a legacy from their parents. They will follow it up to a certain time. I can give you an example. Sallu ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. Sallu ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad wa Ajil. Just take an example. For example, I have a car from my grandparents. My father used to love that car. The car is not moving. Actually, it has lost its speed, everything. The car is there. My father used to love that car because he had connections with his parents. Now, the car is in my hand. Now, car is not moving. It's here. A piece of iron is here, looking good. No worth for museums. Otherwise, it would have been precious for me. But it is just here, without any emotional connection. Will I retain that car? And for how long? If I had plenty of space in my home, I had a big home, and there was extra places, extra garages, then I can keep that car, okay. A legacy from my grandparents, I can keep it for a good time, for example. But if I was in a crunch and had no place, or there was a scarcity of place, then what would be my behavior? If my father is not here, after a certain time, I will see my kids have duties for my kids to do. I can't retain that car because of the legacy of my grandparents. I have to discard it. So I might have connection with my father. I used to love him. But because of this, you see, contradiction of interest, because of conflict of interest, I may surrender my emotions to the benefit of my kids. And I will say, okay, go away. No need here. Now, what if the religion was the legacy? And there was a conflict of interest for the kids. They could not understand the philosophy of religion. Just the rituals were there and in legacy of their parents. Are they going to retain it? As per rule, they are going to leave it. It can go for one generation, might be luckily two, not third. You will lose it. So the third scenario is the parents having religion as rituals. They are going ahead with their rituals, with all the spirit, with all the emotions, and the kids are watching their parents. The parents are not enforcing them. They have a few things to do. Kids used to involve themselves. Why? Because they know that if I do that, my father will be happy and I can get something out of it. And this has worked for me. So he will keep working on that, but not after a few years. When he has an independent life and he has power, the legacy cannot continue. Fourth scenario. Sallu ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. Sallu ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad wa Ajil. What I'm doing here, I have a mirror in my hand and I want you to see which picture fits you best. This is what I'm doing. So the first one was no religion, all freestyle, liberal secular with the bad interpretation of secular and liberal they are doing, and the result is that. Second one, a strict religion, very strict authority, just like authoritarians, and kids are following, the result is that. Third one, a bit of invitation, but just the rituals, no logic, no philosophy, just the ritual, whatever my grandparent did, I will do. And I told you the result. Fourth one, there is logic behind their religion. Parents have logic, they have interpretations. For example, they are doing something and they have the interpretation why they are doing it, and they are good at philosophy. And in the fourth scenario, they are good at philosophy. Okay, so if you ask them why we do azadari, they can tell you the whole story. They can tell you what is symbolism, what is the importance of symbolism. So they are good at philosophy. And the rituals are not just rituals. For example, if they are doing azadari, they were telling their kids that this is not just ritual. It has philosophy. It has philosophy. And this is the philosophy. And they are good in explaining the philosophy. Now, it's good. And the problem, they are good at philosophy. They are not good at practice. They have good knowledge of religion. They can explain it very well. They can give you references. They have quotations. But the kids are watching more than this. This is important for you. And you are good at this. But are you important? Are you good at your anger too? Kid is watching. Are you good at your character too? You are dealing with humanity. You are dealing in financial issues. What about your rest of your life? So this part of religion, you are very strong. Your philosophy, you have good interpretations. But other parts of religion, which were being practiced in your common life, do you think the kid will differentiate this part and that part? No. He will get lesson from both. And his lesson will be the nutshell or the sum total of both the parts. So he says that his father is good at religion. He can explain it well. And if fortunately or otherwise his father was a person like me, he will see he can speak for hours about religion. But if it comes to character, okay, he will see no. Okay, speaking is something and doing is something else. Now, which part of my personality, my kid is going to pick, words or action? Nearly all of you will agree that in conflict of words and action, actions speak louder, always. So he will go behind my actions. He will follow my actions, not the words. There are many words here. Thousands of people are speaking, and you have hundreds of channels, you have millions of books, so you are one of them, without sincerity, without practice, without action. And someone will say, now, he had action, but he had choices of action. What this parent in the fourth category has done, he acted upon religion in his comfort zone. But where he was weak, he left his religion. But the children will receive, but the child will receive the combination of these two practices. I don't think he could make his belief in religion. He will see that my father is good, or my parents are good at religion when they want their religion. But if there is a conflict, then they leave their religion. Though they are describing it very well. The philosophy is good. Interpretations are good. But actions are not following the interpretations. And though following at a certain point, but not after that. Kids need a comprehensive picture of your religion. And it has been done by psychologists that especially preschool children, they cannot differentiate between two levels of understandings. They cannot differentiate. For example, for preschool children, if you put this thing here and you say this is glass and it has another word to say, now this is confusion. For them, this is confusion. They differentiate their world with single name, not with two names. And when they see the parents doing two type of practices, almost they get confused. What's happening here? Now, we grown up are grown up on the habit of hypocrisy. We can differentiate this. We can differentiate that a person is saying something, not believing in it. Are the preschool children ready for this? No, they're not ready. So if they see something happening, they feel that this is the only interpretation. They cannot differentiate that what is happening has another interpretation behind the scene. So I at that point, I used to tell a joke that a father was at home and someone came to visit him, and the kid was there, and he said, okay, some good words for the guest. And then the guest left, and just as the guest left, he started saying what he used to believe in himself and was not expressing that in front of guests. So the kid was watching, and he went to the father and said, was that person a good person or bad person? So he said he was a bad person. The next time, the guy came in, and the kid announced, Father, the bad person is here. So the father got embarrassed. He said, what's happening? So he said, oh, go aside. And then he received, and you know what happens usually. So he just make up the issue. And then after the guest went, he again came to the kid and said, oh, what you did? You embarrassed me. You said the bad guy. He said, you told me he was a bad guy. So I said, the bad guy. He said, he was the guy who is bad, but you can't tell him that he's bad. He said, that's it. I got your point. You teach me, I got your point. The third time, the guest came and they said, Father, the person who is a bad guy and cannot be called that he is a bad guy is there. Now, with all our efforts, for the fourth time, Father could teach him hypocrisy. The kid was not ready for hypocrisy. He was straightforward. But with all the efforts, sincere efforts of his parents, he learned how to be hypocritic in this society. Now this is what we are doing normally. I think, now where to start from? I give you a few scenarios, where to start from. So if I just teach my children how to pray, it may not work. If I just teach them how to do this and that thing, it may not work. So where should I start from? Where I should start from? And in further studies, you can see, and you should have you might have seen that without reading any study or particular study, that that a lot of kids or even youths, they are good at religion at a certain time, then all of a sudden they change themselves. Not because they were under pressure from their parents, they were good, and after the pressure was lifted, they went somewhere else. No, without pressure from parents, they were good, but I don't know what happened that he changed himself. And I saw many cases. Now, what used to happen here? And how can I guarantee? In fact, I can't guarantee, but how can I be sure for myself that I did my best? I have a few points to tell, and inshallah, then we will start Q&A. Sallu ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. I tried my best to understand what should be the best point to teach our kids. Practices can be ignored. Teachings can be ignored. Many things can be ignored, can be changed. Many things. What should be the focal point? If I could teach them, this will remain with them. Now, what I could understand, it may be disputed, it may be challenged, but this is my experience. I worked on it, and I think that this is good. Before I tell you this thing, I give you another reference from another study, which was from a social behavior. Sallu ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. صلی علی محمد و آل محمد و عجل فرج. یو نو کرپشن ایوری ویئر ان پاکستان اینڈ ان ڈے لائٹ اینڈ ان ڈارکنیس ایوری ویئر. سو ا ٹیم آف سوشل سائنٹسٹ کیم ٹو پاکستان فرام این اسکینڈینیوین کنٹری. دے کیم ٹو پاکستان ٹاکنگ اباؤٹ کرپشن اینڈ ڈسکسنگ وائی اٹ ہیپنس. صلی علی محمد و آل محمد. A group of social scientists came to Pakistan from one of the Scandinavian countries. They visited Pakistan and they started working on corruption. Why it happens? So why they were working on Pakistan? I think they don't have corruption. I think in all of my visits to Scandinavian country, I never saw any single case of corruption. I saw many cases in different countries, here and there, everywhere, different type of corruptions. But in Scandinavian countries, they are more secure. I don't know it if it is here. So they came to Pakistan just to see what are the root causes of corruption. So if the root causes are being planted in their country, they will not surface now, but it can surface after 30 years. So they had to check the roots of corruption. So they came to Pakistan, a good place to study that thing. Yes, they came to the right country. We are famous in Transparency International, and the might be the only scale where we develop ourselves. Nauzubillah ta'ala. No, this is just a joke. We have developed in many other scales also, but we are famous for that thing. Nauzubillah. And this is happening. Now, they came to Pakistan, they studied, and they were trying to go back. One of those who were following them, he came to them and he said, okay, just give me a glimpse of your results. Why we have corruption in Pakistan? So, now, just take a break. Is poverty the main reason of corruption? No. There are many poor countries, they don't have corruption at that level. And we have seen many rich countries, those who are corrupt, though in not $10 or $20, but $10 billion or $20 billion. You have great, great examples like Enron here from the States. Corruption not in dollars, tens and thousands, but in billions. And you have great examples here again in this state. I don't want to name them, but you have these examples. They did corrupt. They were corrupt, and they are corrupt. Still doing it. But by the face, they are good. Now, is poverty the main reason of corruption? I think everyone who has worked on this issue, they know that no, poor people are not the corrupt people. And the results of microfinance institutions are obvious proof of this claim. You see, return in microfinance institutions, payback of their loans is more than 96%. Had poor people more corrupt, then this should be lower than 50 even. They are better than conventional banking. While conventional banking is in the hand of rich people, or mostly middle class or rich people. But microfinance is only for poor people. You cannot give loan more than 30,000 or 50,000 rupees. So who is going to get loan for 30,000, 50,000 rupees? The poor class. And they are honest. 26% result payback. So they are not corrupt. So poverty is not the reason for corruption. So can we say that relaxation of rule, with strict rule, you have no corruption, and with uncertainty in rules, you have corruption. Is this the only reason? We say no. Because if you have very strict rules, the guys who are implementing those strict rules, they will be costlier and nothing will happen. Corruption will remain there. So in Pakistan, usually, if you make a law, what happens? The guy who is implementing the law, he will be costlier now. First he used to get 10, now he will get 20, because the law is strict. So laws can be mended, they can be played with if the corruption is here. So law cannot make the difference. So poverty is not the issue and law is not the issue. So what the Scandinavian party said? They said, you are corrupt because you are not respecting your poor. This is the main reason. Because you are not respecting your poor people. Because you have a big number of people in your society, those who are not respected. Those who are not given values. And how it happens? What are the dynamics? You don't give them respect. They feel disrespected for the first time. Then again disrespected. Again disrespected. And they realize that they are not respectful. They, for themselves, become disrespected. So when they see themselves, we are not respectful people, what they do? They want to get respect from any means it comes. Right or wrong? Number one. Number two, they said, now we are disrespected. Now we are disrespected. We will not leave any single person on earth be respected. Whoever comes to me, if I had power, I will disgrace him. Because I'm disgraced. My officer, my boss is doing this and that thing with me. So should I leave my subordinates? Now I will show the same pattern. I will do the same thing. So this is the vicious circle of corruption. It starts from powerful, it goes to weak, and it comes back to the powerful and again goes to the weaker. And this vicious circle goes on, and the corruption goes on. So where to stop it from? The party said, you start giving respect to your poor people. You start giving respect to the weaker part of your society. So whenever I go to any university and they talk to me and they ask me to comment about the society and corruption and this and that, I normally advise them, go and respect the guard. Go and respect the peon who is working in the kitchen. And respect the one who is cleaning the floor. Respect them. And you may get rid of corruption. Start it from here. So if the person who is working in the office, Office of Registrar, has all the number marks and sheets and, you know, and he's been not being respected, what he's going to do? He'll force his respect for anything he can do. So don't feel them disrespected and you have a better environment, a better society. Now, can we learn from this lesson for tazkiyah and tarbiyah of our children? Yes. Respect them. Before teaching them deen, before teaching them religion, before teaching them practices, before anything else, respect them. And this is what the Holy Prophet said, وَقِّرُوا أَطْفَالَكُمْ. Respect your children. 1400 years back. I'm surprised. In no culture, none of the routine cultures of this universe, you can find this sentence even 200 years back. Respect your children. So what if I respect my children? If I respect my children, they will have a respectful personality. And this respectful personality will give them a standard. That child will keep his standard or her standard for himself. And they will not accept for themselves to go less than that standard. They will retain themselves. Now, a wonderful study, another study being done in the case of education. And they monitored a few children. They put something. First, I'll take example, a toy, a very attractive toy, or a few toys on the floor or somewhere. And they asked children, don't touch these toys. Don't touch these toys. Oh, very simple game, which we play at home. And kids know how to make us happy. So they said, don't touch them. Okay, the students followed. And then they deliberately let them know that no one is watching. And they deliberately give them the environment where if they touch the piece, they can place it right on the spot where it was, so it could not be noticed. So the test was very good. So they let them know that we are not watching you. They let them know that you can make it in a way that we are not going to see that you did that. Okay? But of course they were watching. Of course they were watching them. Now, they did that for in different styles. For example, first one within a few minutes. Second one more than a few minutes. Third one for a longer period. So what is the behavior of kids? So they noticed the behavior. This group of kids did that immediately. That one after some time. And this one after a few minutes. And a group never touched them. A group never touched. So they noticed. They recorded with hundreds of kids. Who touched that in 5 minutes, then 10 or 15. Or in which environment they touched. Was that in a school or that in his home? So a few students were good at school, they were obedient, but at home they were free. And vice versa. So it was a wonderful study. Then what happened? For hundreds of kids, they did that and they recorded. And they recorded. And they kept monitoring them for 20 years. Kept monitoring them for 20 years. And after 20 years, when they got professional training and they came into career, now what happened is very strange. I could explain you. Result of those who had control in themselves, their career was as bright as both the parents would have PhD. So a segment of society where both the parents have postdoc or doctorate, they have their kids at a certain level of career. The guys, the students who had control in themselves, they had the same percentage of good career. My Lord, if my parents are not good, they are not educated, but I have control. My chances of being successful is as equal to those kids who have both of their parents done their doctorate or postdoctorate. That much is control important in a kid's life. Now, where this control comes from? It should have an inner power to give him control. No outer control can give him that control, because that outer power can be eliminated with any difference. So, if he has control in himself or herself, then he can control his lust or her lust. And what is that control, inner control? The respect which that kid believe in himself. So now giving you a scenario, Sallu ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. Sallu ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. If I'm not good with my kid, I'm disrespecting him, not giving him enough respect. Okay? And the kid felt that I am not respected. What's going to happen? I have lost his PhD. And even if I am PhD, my kid is not going to get anything from me. Okay? So illiterate parents are better parents if they respect their kids. And those who have done doctorate and postdoctorate are worse parents if they are not respecting their kids. This is the study. So first thing which I could understand, give them respect. Give them personality. Respect and personality, this can give them discipline. And with discipline, they can get control. And with control, their chances of having a good career is very high. Very high. So this is my first point. Second point. Do we need mathematical or mechanical children to raise? No. We know mechanical children are not good when they come into society. Lots of studies have been done. Those children who were emotionless because of many reasons, and I'm going to tell you the side which is connected with parents. The children which are emotionless, with no emotions, they are worst type of citizens for the society. They're not good. And I'm sure, though the study has not been done, but they will never be muttaqi. They will be never be muttaqi if they don't have emotions in them, in their childhood. Now, what is this sense of emotionless mechanical personality comes from? It comes from your lack of contact with them. Lack of contact. Now, in another study, every child, school-going child, for example, primary school, they need at least 8 direct touch of his parents, his or her parent. 8 direct touch. For example, what is direct touch? The mother comes and he manages his or her hair. Oh, this is the direct touch. The direct touch, or you see, cleaning the collar, straightening the collar. So if the collar is straight, so there is a direct touch. They need 8 direct touch per day for maintaining the emotions between parents and the children. And if the child is under pressure because of the exams, because of any other pressure, they need more than 12. They need more than 12. Okay, so this is another study. Okay, end of the study. It says that 12 minutes are very important. 4 minutes before going to school, 4 minutes after coming from school, and 4 minutes before going to bed. If you are with them, they are with you. Your emotions can be communicated. If you're not with them, you're busy with your own self, that you are losing your emotions. The child is losing emotion, he becomes mechanical. And the mechanical being at childhood is not good for society, and I'm sure not good for religion too. Okay? The second thing is communication. And this communication is not by iPad or by iPhone. It should be by touch and by sight. Should be touched. Should be communicated by language. Look at the eyes. Look at the eyes. You know, we, the speakers, I don't want to claim that we have seen thousands of eyes for 30 years. I am delivering lectures, you see, and for 30 years, if I deliver a few hundred lectures per year, and then you can imagine how many eyes I have seen. So this eye contact is very important. Now you see, in case of mahram, na-mahram, what our traditions say, don't maintain eye contact. Don't maintain eye contact. This is a problem. So in kids and parents, do they need eye contact or not? Yes, of course they need that. And if you are busy in those 12 minutes, you cannot have eye contact with them, and you're going to lose your emotions. And they are going to lose their emotions. And if they lost their emotions, they will become mechanical. And mechanical childhood is worse for a society, for a religion. So second thing, first is give them respect. Second thing, have communication with them, direct touch, eye contact, and just talk with them. Sallu ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. Sallu ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. Amen, Lord. I think I have crossed the time. The third thing I will deliver, and that's it. Third thing, conceptual clarity. Conceptual clarity. You are communicating with your child about life and religion. Are you clear in your concepts? If not, don't tell anything. It's better. Because confusion is worse than not having any idea. You are confusing him or her. So if you are not clear in your concept, please take your time, have your concepts clear, and then talk with them. So confusion is not good for them, and especially in preschool. And for example, unfortunately, what happens, we don't count preschool children as full humans. We don't count them full human. So if you are talking with preschool children, what happened? What used to happen in Pakistan and in here, even here? I saw a person who was going to start a school. I said, "Who is the educationalist in your system?" They said, "This guy has something to do with, you see, kids. They can manage it. They can manage it." I said, "No, none of them are educationalist." He said, "We are just dealing with preschool. Don't worry." I said, "I don't worry." Preschool is the most sensitive part of the education. If you don't have educationalists, especially for the preschool children, you are going to lose them. This is not a thing which can be done by any mother or any teacher. If someone is teaching in university, it's much easier than in preschool. So we don't count them full human being. And this is our problem. We lose them. We're not expert. And we don't have clear ideas. So have clear ideas. Conceptual clarity at that level is very important. Your kid should be very clear what he is doing or what they have to do. Should be very clear. So sometimes, you know, we punish our kids, for example, and the kid don't know why I'm being punished. And the punishment is not physical. For example, just emotional, that he came to meet you and you ignored them. It is sort of punishment. And they don't know what's happening, why I'm being ignored. And this confusion, oh my Lord, this is worse. It's worse. They can't face that. They get confused, and with that confusion, they lose their emotions. So be clear. Your conceptual clarity is very important here when you are dealing with the kids. So I give you a few rules, and I give you a few examples and scenarios just to make ourselves see ourselves, what we are doing. And there are a lot of discussions. I told you in the beginning that we cannot solve this problem, this great problem which has PhD been done, post-PhD has been done, and I can say hundreds of billions of dollars being spent on the educational side, you see, and just to see how it happens and how it works. We cannot deal that in a single class or a single hour, but these are a few principles. These are a few rules. You can see yourself, and you can work on it. Sallu ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
Jazakallah Malana. Now we're going to take a Q&A till the 5:15. First 10 minutes going to the sisters. Please brief in your questions and stick to the discussion today. And then after that, 10 minutes to the brothers. I'm handing over the mic, if you can take over.
The instruction was only for sisters, not for you.
Anybody? I have a list, so I'll take the 10 minutes. Anybody first? Assalamu alaikum. So I have a few questions, and I'll keep on asking the sisters if they have anything else. Number one, when you were mentioning that children are all of different natures, yeah, and we have to approach them according to their capabilities or their nature, how would you recommend we deal with being consistent versus customizing individual approaches to the child? For example, if like I have multiple children, so if I have a rule that this is what we're going to do.
Mabruk, inshallah.
And if there's a rule, for example, that we're all going to do namaz together in jamaat,
yeah,
but there's one who's quickly trying to go do wuzu so he can do for adhan and be done with, yeah, it. And they're all of varying ages. So, for example, if the 5 or 6-year-old want to do it on their own,
yeah,
whereas we want to encourage them, for example, so that they learn from the elders.
Yeah.
So how should we be consistent? Like, for example, say that this is the rule and that's it. Or should we just take it, like picking your battle, take it day by day? Maybe that child had a rough day at school,
yeah,
or maybe we came late from the center program or something like that, yeah, and they're not willing.
I will prefer the second one. The second approach, flexible, very flexible approach. So one of the ulama in Iran, he used to come on television for kids, and he used to talk about tarbiyat awlad and this and that. He said his daughter, who's not baligh, came to him and said, I'm going to pray without hijab. Is it okay? The daughter was not baligh. He said, yes, okay, do it. Until you are not baligh, you can do it. Why he did that? He never wanted to force her. So she was saying that, can I do prayer without hijab? He said, yes, if you are not baligh, you can do it. But after being baligh, you have to take hijab. So another example, the kid says that, okay, Maghrib and Isha. I will do Maghrib and I will go for Katu. So should I allow him or not? If not wajib, yes, I say, okay, that's okay. No problem, do Maghrib and go away. Why? It's not wajib. Why should I force him? So one may say that if it's not wajib, why you are inviting him? just to give him practice. Just to give him practice. Even with wajib. Even with wajib, I don't know, I did this way. I'm not telling you this is the most successful way. Okay, it has its own merits or demerits. If namaz is wajib for my kids, I will wait up to the end of the time, last minutes. And then at last minute, if they themselves wake up and they did their prayer, I said, that's okay. If not, I will wait up to only 5 minutes. And then I will go and tell them, I'm your father. I want to see you pray. Now just 5 minutes ahead. Get up, pray, sleep again. I will not mind that. But just pray for a few minutes. Okay, so if the water is cold, I will make it hot. So he should not feel the cold. So I will make him ready. I will say, okay, the heater is here. If you put off the blanket, there is no cold going to touch you. Just come out, take your wazoo, make your wazoo, and pray and sleep again. Without tasbih, without anything. Why? This part is wajib. This part is what I have to take care of. Not the other part. And one more thing, I just want to say that point, but I left that somewhere, that no rule can be enforced in case of our children without love. We are not police. We are not army. We are parents. So whatever you want to force or enforce on them, do this with love. All the love. So don't do anything which reflects that you don't love them. So if you want to punish them just because they have done something wrong, do this in a lovely manner. Even punishment should be done in a lovely manner. Why? The kid should realize that I have been punished because of this action. Who is going to punish me? The one who hates me or one who loves me? One who loves you. So why, if he loves me, why is punishing me? Because of myself. Because he loves me. And he can't let me do anything which will give me harm. So he's punishing me. But if you shout him, if you kept shouting and saying this and that beside your punishment, just to, you see, relax, just to release your own pressure, then it's not going to work. This punishment will be a torture for child. And he's not going to love you then. The kid is not going to love you. So do whatever you want to do with love, and relaxation should be there for those acts which are not wajib. Please.
Anyone else? Anyone else?
Sallu ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad.
Assalamu alaikum, Maulana Sahab. I want to ask my question about my son. The namaz is not wajib on him, but I am trying to not force, but keep asking that, did you read namaz? Did you read namaz all the time? Until he did, because I want to this make a habit, because I'm a little scared. Then if I'm not doing it right now, when it's going to be wajib on him, he might be not able to do all the time his wajib, because he is not in the habit of doing it. So is it a wrong act? I shouldn't do it, or just take it light?
There may be different style. What is my style? Okay. I think this is not good. If your son is listening, it's not good. You are discussing it here.
No, he's not.
It's not good. Okay. So we have to take care. But my kids have got the habit that our father do this everywhere. So what I do, I will ask him, you have to pray, and the last time is 5:15. When are you going to pray? He told me 4:30. I said, okay, I will not ask you for up to 4:30. Then at 4:30, you would have been prayed. He said, yes, I will do that. I think just pushing them again and again, it gives you counter-effect. It is counterproductive. They will feel tired. They feel bored. What's happening? Always asking. And prayer, you know, prayer is not once in the lifetime. It's many times a day. So if you just keep asking, he says, all the day my mother is there. And okay, just one thing left, the rest of the life is gone, and just prayer is there. Now, is he going to love prayer? No, never. So I think, in my style, what I will do, I will tell him, okay, my dear, you have a job to do, and when are you going to do this? Are you going to do this or not? Most of the time, always. Never tells me that I'm not going to pray. Never. Okay? He said, I will pray. So the style which my wife has, okay, pray. And then after 10 minutes, have you prayed? He said, no. Okay, go pray. And then after 15 minutes, have you prayed? He said, no. Oh, my God, I get tired. I said, okay, leave it. I will deal the case. Okay, Mahdi, come here. Last time is 5:15. When are you going to pray? Tell me the time. That's it. 4:30? Okay, no problem. 5 is okay. For me, 5 is even okay. Why? Inside time. But tell you, after 5, if you had not prayed, you are going to lose this thing now. I'm telling you. So the rule is very clear. Flexibility as much as you can give. As much as you can give. Don't insist harshly on mustahabbat. They will get bored, they will get tired, and you look at yourself, myself. We never obeyed our mustahabbat that religiously when we were that kid. So why are we expecting from them? Just to say that because now we have learned something, they should learn at that time? I don't think so. They have their own interests, they have their own problems, just like us. At that time, at that age, we had our own interests, we had our own problems. So just give them flexibility as much as you can, but with a certain rule. So do this, or this is going to happen. Now, don't be very harsh. Messages, don't be very harsh, be clear, and persuasions all the time is not good. It's not good. And some of the time, what happens? This is the normal case, very normal case in subcontinent. The father knows that my child do is smoking. In most of the cases, they know that he smoke. But he never shows that I know you smoke. And the child knows that my father knows that I do smoke. But he pretends that I don't know that you know. Okay. So what's the use of this? Don't know you do know, and I don't know that you know. What is the use of this? They say, no, just to keep the environment of respect. Just to keep everything. So I know that day my son had not prayed. Okay, I know that. My wife told me that, okay, you see, he's not prayed. Okay, don't tell him that I know that. Next time I will face him and I will say, Mahdi, you always pray. Please, what time are you going to pray now? Why I should tell him that I know your mistake? Even Allah never do that. What I should do? Give them a space. Give them a space. As Allah has given you a space. So, be merciful. Have a flexibility with rules and regulation. Flexibility in the generalized term is not good. Flexibility with rules. And regulation, with care, with love, with emotions, and it can give you result. And in a few cases, with all your precautions, with all your scientific dealings, it may not give you result. And it had happened with a few prophets. It had happened with Ahim Athar alayhi muslim. Sallu ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad ibn Ali. Don't be worried. You have done your best. You corrected yourself whenever you make a mistake and it could not give you result. Not everything will happen according to my will. There are certain things which can happen without my will. So do your best, and finally, just to add the final element, asking Allah to make it happen. This is the biggest point. We are weak. We have mistakes. If my kid learn from my mistake, he will not have the guidance. So I know my mistakes, I know my weaknesses. Ask Allah to help you. And what is the way of asking that? رَبِّ رَحَمْهُمَا كَمَا رَبَّيَانِي صَغِيرًا. Ask for kindness for your parents, and Allah will give kindness into the heart of your children. رَبَّنَا حَبْ لَنَا مِنْ أَزْوَاجِنَا وَذُرِّيَاتِنَا قُرَّةَ عَيُنٍ. O my Lord, make my wife and children coolness of my sight. This is the way. Ask Allah to do this. And a lot of tradition. رَبِّ جَعَلْنِي مُقِيمَ الصَّلَاةِ وَمِنْ ذُرِّيَّتِي رَبَّنَا وَتَقَبَّلْ دُعَائِي. رَبِّ جَعَلْنِي مُقِيمَ الصَّلَاةِ وَمِنْ ذُرِّيَّتِي. O my Lord, make me one who pray and from my children. The prayer from Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam. So this is tough. This is really tough. You are connected with a child, can't do anything if they are not following you, and you are depressed, and you look at them just. But be careful in the starting. Be careful when you are in the power, and inshallah you will get better result with your connection with Allah and with all those struggles, inshallah. Sallu ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. Sallu ala. You want to get your mic back? I don't have the courage.
We have a few more questions unless the men.
You see? Definitely. No, what's gonna?
Yelena.
Sallu ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
You have another 5 minutes.
Okay, sisters, have another 5 minutes.
Muhammad wa ali. Just adding one more point here. If you tried your best, and your child is not good, no, should you be disappointed with all his next generations? No. Allah will never waste your efforts. Allah is Rahim, He's Kareem, He's Adil, He's Fazl. Will He waste your efforts? Your sincere efforts? No, never. In the case of Hazrat Musa alayhi salam, he said, when they just built the wall which had the treasure for two orphans, Kana Abuhuma Saliha, because their father was a pious person. And in the interpretation we have that not the father, but the grandfather was a pious person. So Allah helped these two orphans because of their grandfather. So if na'uzu billah, your child is not good, don't be disappointed. You have done something good, and Allah will never waste it. So just wait for another generation. And we have seen that. Even the son of Yazid ibn Muawiyah was not that bad. Though I'm not saying that he was a very good person, but was not that bad as his father was. So there are rules and regulations. You may wait, and inshallah, Allah will give you a generation which will be better, inshallah. Sallu ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. Sallu ala.
Assalamu alaikum.
So
we just wanted to know, what is your what's the best advice you can give for girls approaching the age of bulugh, when they become baligh? How would you advise them to start wearing the hijab and to accept that is a part of our religion, especially in the West? A lot of us, were born and brought up in the Middle East, and it's an Islamic environment. It's much easier to start wearing the hijab, and it's more acceptable. But here in the West, they go to public schools. They have that Western environment. So, what would be your best advice on getting them to you know, have hijab as part of their lives.
I think this with this understanding that it is easier in Islamic countries and tough in Western countries, a few of my friends says that no, it's totally opposite of that. It is easier in Western countries and tough in Islamic countries. Because I met someone, I don't want to name him and the country, I met him and his girls were wearing perfect hijab, mashallah. And I was so delighted and he said, how you did that? He said, it's easier when we are here. And when they visit Pakistan, it becomes tough, really tough. Because here we can tell them that they are different religion, they have different ideologies, you have different ideology, and you do this and they do that. But where? When they come back to Pakistan and they visit Pakistan, they get confused. What's happening here? And so it may be the other case. For a few children, might be the case, it will be opposite. But how it should be dealt with? I think part of it is philosophy, and most of it is emotions at the starting. So girls starting at an earlier period of life, they are getting balik earlier. So part of it is philosophy, just telling them what's happening here, why hijab is good, and with good examples, not the philosophical ones, the examples which could touch their life. And there are many examples given by Sheikh Mutahari in his book, and other scholars used to do this, which can tell them that you're not weak, so we are protecting you. We are not fearing for you, so we are giving you hijab. No, because you are precious. You're precious. So the example is good. Philosophy may not work, but examples may work. So you have to see how you can deal this as part at the level of concepts. And I told you the concept should be delivered through examples, not through the philosophies, because the kid of, for example, 7, 8 or 9 may not grasp the philosophy, but examples can work. Second part is emotion. Second part is emotion. You are her mother, and mothers have contact with their kids, and much can be done. Much can be done through this contact, with this love and with this attachment. But what if mothers don't have attachment? Then it is really tough. Really, really tough. So you came to West and you started adopting the culture of West with appearance, Islamic appearance. But it started the culture. It adopted the culture. Now you adopted the culture. The culture says that you may work and it's better for you to work. You started work and both the parents are working, as it is very normal here. And when they are working, they have left the emotions, the emotional side of the children. Were not dealt with, or is being dealt with someone else. So the connection is not there. And now we want to tell the girl that you please wear hijab. And I said, philosophy is not going to work, emotions can. And we lost the emotions. Because we adopted the culture because of economy, because of the financial conditions. So it's not part of the life. It is the life in the complete sense which is going to work. So my words are not going to work, my practice is not going to work some of the times, the whole life may work. The whole life may work. So just to end this discussion, someone asked an expert of nutrition, how can I reduce my weight? The guy said, wonderful thing. He said, change your lifestyle. No single formula can work for you. Change your lifestyle. I love that, left the sentence. I'm going to please Allah just by a few prayers. I'm going to raise my kids just by a few tricks. I'm going to change my society just by a few tricks. No, change your lifestyle. You want to reduce a few kilos of extra fat, it needs your lifestyle to be changed. And what about if you want to change the society? If you wanted to change a kid? So you don't need to do anything? So it needs a change, a fundamental change in the lifestyle. Otherwise, it will be tough. It will be tough, really tough. So you had a prayer at 5:50, and before prayer, you had dinner. And our brother is suggesting that postpone the the dinner after prayer, so we could carry on with the questions. No, what I do, I say no. I said no. We will have a break here. You take your dinner and you have your prayer. Why? Give them flexibility. give them flexibility. Don't make them get tired of their religion. So if someone is really, looking for the dinner and he says, oh, Maulana is there still. Yeah, okay. In my logic, no problem. We will leave a few questions, but okay, go for the dinner. Take your dinner. I'm here. If there was a question, I'm here. I can answer you, inshallah.
I got just two from the brothers, and okay. Then we go.
Don't want to discriminate.
Maulana Sahib, to further the question of the sister that she asked, like making repeated requests to the child, come on, yeah. Go and say your prayers, come on, go. Now, he or she is delaying it, and whatever that he or she is busy with is already irritating you that much. That is the reasoning that you are asking, stop that and go and say the prayers. And he wants to continue. Okay. With that irritating behavior for how long?
Yeah.
I mean, it's trying your patience that I'm asking you to stop it and you are trying to delay it and continue with it.
Yeah.
So that's why the repeated request is repeated again and again.
It's the game of nerves. The game of nerves. Okay? You have your love and you have your connection, your emotions, and he has his love and his emotions. Okay. Both the connections are working. His with video game and yours for prayer. Okay. Now, this irritating behavior is irritating you, and my irritating behavior is irritating him. Now, just sit in his shoes. And now see what's happening here. You are being irritated by his irritating behavior. Now, what he is saying? Yeah, the same. So, what you will say? You'll say, oh, my Lord, could I change him? And the guy is also saying the same thing. And one of them came to me and said, my Lord, what's the problem with parents? We get them, we can't change them. They are forced. Why Allah did that? They are forced, we can't change them. So just look at his mentality, their mentality. So this is a game of nerves, game of love, game of connections, you see. All of them happening here. And changing a behavior is one of the most complicated studies in psychology. How to change the behavior. You know, you see a single ad on your television, and sometimes a few $100,000 had been spent just to make an ad of 20 seconds or 15 seconds. 15 seconds is very big ad. So they spend money on understanding how to change the behavior. And we don't take any course. We are not prepared. We have kids in hand and we want to change their behavior without any expertise. It's not simple. So you know how to change it.
There's the last question, Maulana. After that, we're going to proceed for a dinner.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Thank you very much, Maulana, for your rich speech.
Thank you.
I wish you give us some more references and literature so that we can further our studies.
Yeah.
Throughout your lecture, you use the word parents as a single entity.
Yeah.
This applies mostly for the Eastern cultures.
Yeah.
While in the Western Hemisphere, the parents are two individuals, and you are dealing with another complexity. Yeah. How you deal with that issue of raising child, two parents as being two separate, independent, and different personality individuals? Thank you.
Yeah. And this complication of having two different personalities in a single home is being solved in West. For 40% of the time, they leave the other one. They say, we can't deal with this complication. So they leave the other one. They say, no, we are single parents. So this is not good. It's a complication. Adding upon the complication. Okay, so having two personalities working at the same child is a complication. Leaving one of them go out, adding upon the complication, complexity. Okay, so what's happened? It is an extension of another complication which is being faced already by the family which has two similar ideology. Now, can you find any wife and husband, those who have absolutely similar ideologies? I don't think. So, if you could find, can you find any family in Eastern side, you know, family is very important. Can you find any family where a person has an uncle, has a brother, younger or elder, and they have, all of them have same ideology? No. My child is living with me, and we used to go to a brother or the brother of my wife, okay? And they have different ideologies. I mean, possibly, my father has different ideology. My mother. So there is a problem which has not been touched in my speech or my discussion, that how to deal with complication of or diversification of ideologies in a connected environment, maybe the family, the first family, or maybe the extended family. How to deal with this? Now, give you an example. At one of the centers, a teacher told me that she said. We taught the students that you have to pray. So the student said, if you don't pray, what? Allah will send you to hell. And what is hell? All fire. People will burn there. Okay, I know what's going to happen with my father. So this is the problem. I tell my child, there is a hell, there is a punishment. And this is going to happen to anyone who disobey Allah. And he says that, I know your brother don't do this. So what about your brother, uncle, my uncle? Are they going to hell? So if you tell them, yes, they are going to hell. But he said, so why you are going to the house of someone who is going to hell? So why you are in connection with them? So what I should do? How should I behave? And what I should teach? Here, a diversification of ideology has to be taught. Now, what is the diversification of ideology at this age, 6, 7, 5, 6, 7, 8? How can you teach them? Differences of perceptions. We know differences of perceptions. But can a child understand differences of perceptions of a single reality? Now this is tough. This is really tough. So if my child comes to me and he said that my teacher is not observing hijab in school. So if I tell him that she is wrong, she's going to hell. So what I have done, I have broken the communication between teacher and student. Now this will be counterproductive for my child, because he has to stay in that environment for 6 hours. I have to have him believe in his teacher with this conception that she's not doing the right thing. So there is a very about invisible line, very narrow line, going between telling them she is wrong and telling them that it is possible, though we are right. It is possible that someone has difference of conception or perception for you or with us, but we are right. So being right and telling them the others are wrong, you have to take another line in between these two, telling them we are right, but they have their own perception of reality. They are working on their own ideas of reality, their own interpretation of life. Now, this is not something which can be done so easily. We have to work out, and we have to do this in a more detailed manner. The solution is, you can't tell them we are not right. You can't tell them they are wrong, going to hell. But you can tell them we are right, but they have their own perception of reality. They are working on it. you are right. If you do, you are obedient to Allah, you are right, you will get your reward. What about them? They have their own perception. They are working on it. Though we feel that they are not good, they are not right, but let them understand their own perception. Let them work on it. So you can give them an hope. You can give them a hope that you work rightful, and we hope that the whole world at a certain time will understand what is right and what is wrong. So they will come to this point. So I think don't put your child into the trouble of looking all of others as inferior. Don't give this. It will be hell for him. Hell for him. Because what? If I did that, what will happen? I have told them, na'uzubillah, that you see, me, I'm correct, you are correct, and the rest, all of them going to hell. This is takfiri. This is takfiri. This is how they do. They say, we are good, rest are bad, all of them in hell, and you can go and kill them. So don't start this procedure. And we started from here. We say, all of them are wrong. No, don't say that. What do you say? We are right. They have their own perception. We'll work on the right thing. And inshallah, they will come to the point when they will have the good perception of life. It can be mutually done. This is the complication. Thank you very much. And I always feel that someone in a better style could deliver this. But okay, I have my own weaknesses in my language, so I did what I could do, and inshallah you'll forgive me. Sallu ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
Sallu ala.
Just please, five times, Ayah Muqaddasa, Ayah Kareema. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. أَمَّنْ يُجِيبُ الْمُضْطَرَّ إِذَا دَعَاهُ وَيَكْشِفُ السُّوءَ 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 Surah Fatiha, Sallu ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. Sallu alam. Surah Fatiha is requested for all your mahrumin, and especially Marhuma Rukayya Bai Binte Kimji Muhammad, Masum Ali Nurani, Ashraf Ali Nurani, Sabira Binte Masum. Surah Fatiha, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah. Come on, come on, come on, come on.